Well, it's a real blessing to be with you all this evening. I just want to thank the elders for inviting me to come and to bring God's word to you. And it is a blessing to be here. And it's my prayer, as I trust it's your prayer, that the Lord will bless us this evening, that we'll hear his voice through his word for the good of our souls and for the glory of his name. And with that, let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to the New Testament and the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to be reading just a few verses from this passage, from verse 38 to verse 42. And here we read of the well-known sisters in Scripture, Mary and Martha. And this is the living word of the living God. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Amen. Now, as we read these verses in God's word, what we can see is that this was a very special day for this village, and especially for this household. The Lord Jesus Christ had come. You can imagine if the Lord himself was to come to this place, to come into your own household. Imagine it, boys and girls. The Lord Jesus Christ coming to your door. How would you respond? Well, how did these well-known sisters respond? Martha and Mary. What we see in these verses is that they responded in very different ways. What we see is that after the Lord Jesus was welcomed into the house, after he'd settled in and started to teach, Martha was serving while Mary was sitting. Martha serving, Mary sitting. And in first reading, we might think that Martha was in the right. There she was, serving the Lord while Mary was sitting. Martha thought that she was in the right. As we read there, approaching the Lord, saying, "Look, Lord, Mary's left me to serve alone." But then the Lord so graciously and lovingly corrects her, as we saw there, repeating her name, "Martha, Martha." And he essentially says to her, "Martha, Mary is sitting. But think about where she is sitting. She's sitting at my feet. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen that thing. She's chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." What the Lord's essentially saying to Martha here is, "Martha, Mary is sitting at my feet, and you need to do the same." And that's what the Lord is saying to us this evening. It's what he's saying to me, and it's what he's saying to you. The Lord is saying, "Come and sit at my feet. Sit at the feet of Jesus Christ." Whatever situation you find yourself in this evening, whatever situation, the call of the Lord is, "Come and sit at my feet." I'd like us to consider in the time that we have just three reasons for sitting at the feet of Jesus. We're going to consider how sitting at the feet of Jesus is needful, It is beautiful and it's fruitful. Three reasons. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, it's needful, it's beautiful, and it's fruitful. Firstly, to sit at the feet of Jesus is needful. That's what the Lord himself says there in verse 42. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. The good portion is the necessary portion. And that's what Mary was doing, sitting at the feet of Christ. Before we consider Mary, let's think about Martha for a moment. As we noted, rather than sitting, she was serving. She was serving. You might say, well, is it not good to serve? Is it not good to show hospitality? Of course it is. We're told to be hospitable in the scriptures. It's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord and to serve one another in hospitality. It's what we're called to do. You see, the problem here with Martha was not that she was serving. It's not that she was showing hospitality. The problem was that she was serving and she was showing hospitality to the point of it being unnecessary. And even to the point of it becoming a distraction. As you read there in verse 40, it says that Martha was distracted with much serving. The sense in the Greek there, we could say Martha was carried away with much serving. And the real problem at the heart is that she was being carried away from the one who had come into her house. Carried away from Jesus himself. Here in her own home was the Savior. Here in her own home was the life giver. Here in her own home was the one who would say in John 11, when her brother Lazarus passed away, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who she herself would go on to confess as the Christ, the Son of God. Here he was in her home, sharing, teaching, giving of himself, and she was nowhere to be seen. Or she wasn't nowhere, she was everywhere to be seen. To and fro, back and forth, serving, 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 but not at the feet of Christ. And with that in mind, it's no surprise what the Lord goes on to say to her in verse 41. After she complains, the Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you're anxious. There's a diagnosis. Martha, Martha, you're anxious. And you're troubled about many things. And friends, if we live our lives standing, simply standing on our own two feet, rather than sitting at the feet of Christ, then we will find ourselves anxious. And we will find ourselves troubled about many things. Our minds and our hearts like a washing machine of concerns and burdens and worries. If we are to stay true in the storms of life which will come, perhaps you find yourself in the storm at present. If we are to stay true to the course, if we are to press on in such times, we need to be anchored at the feet of Christ. Nowhere else. Anchored at the feet of Christ. What does that mean? It means to be in his word. It means to be in prayer. It means to be in fellowship with the Lord, like Christ himself so often was in his ministry, setting himself apart to pray and fellowship with the Father. Sitting at the feet of Christ. That wasn't the case for Martha here. Too busy serving. But it was the case for Mary. As we read there in verse 39, Martha had a sister called Mary. What was she doing? She sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, the necessary part, the good part, which would not be taken from her. Sitting at the feet of Christ. You see, that expression that we've been using, sitting at the feet, and it's used here, it was used to speak of those who learnt from the rabbis. The rabbis would teach and their students would sit at their feet. We see that in Acts 22, verse 3, where Paul reflects on his days as a Pharisee and how he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, that great teacher amongst the Pharisees, learning from him. And they literally would sit at their feet. But the term itself really speaks to the authority of the teacher. And when Christ came to this house, Mary knew him to be one who taught with authority, not as the Pharisees and not as the scribes. She knew that the one who'd come into this house was not just another rabbi, not just another teacher, but the teacher of teachers, the Savior, the life giver, the resurrection and the life. And so she had to hear him. She had to hear what he had to say. Now, I don't think it's the case that Christ came into the house and then straight away Mary sat there on the ground. No, I think she would have helped Martha. I think she would have helped her as she welcomed Christ and all the disciples with him into their home. But I think she would have helped to the point of that which was necessary being met. And when they got to that point, while Martha continued to serve and to serve and to serve, Mary sat. She sat at Christ's feet and she listened. To put it differently, while Martha was serving Jesus in order to feed his body, there was Mary sat on the ground looking to Jesus, longing for Jesus to feed her soul, to feed her soul. The Savior of my soul is here. I want to hear him. I want to hear his every word. While Martha was focused on the temporal, Mary, her focus was the eternal, the things that truly matter, the things that are truly necessary. Like Christ himself says in John 6, do not labor for the food that perishes, but rather for the food that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. And just a little later on, we're told that some who followed Christ, they left him. The storms were too much. The going was too tough. And so he turned to his closest disciples and said, will you also go away? Will you also leave me? And what did Peter say? To whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Friend, to whom will you go? Christ alone has the words of eternal life. So go to him. If you haven't already, let me urge you this evening to go to him. Sit at his feet. Take your sins to him and place your trust in him alone. That's what's necessary. It's the good part. And for those who do trust in Christ, for those who do sit at his feet, as Christ himself says, no one will take that away from you. No one will take it away from you. You see, if we set our hearts on the temporal things of this world, especially in the storms of life, but at any time, it would do us no good. It would do us no good. J.C. Ryle noted that. He spoke of the work of God in our lives as being like a fire. And he spoke about a fire and says, if you're just to put even a little earth on a fire, the fire will soon grow dim. And so he says the same about the work of God in our lives, our faith and our walk with God. If we set our hearts on the things of the earth, even just a little earth, will cause our hearts, the fire of our hearts, to grow dim. It's not the earth that we need. It's Christ. It's Christ and him alone, the shepherd of our souls. And that's why in Psalm 23, it doesn't just say that this shepherd, and it's alluded to in the passage we read in Ezekiel 34, that he leads us to green pastures. No, that's not what it says. You know the words. Psalm 23 says he makes us lie down in the green pastures. So what do we need to do tonight? What do we need to do tomorrow? We need to lie down. We need to lie down. And you may say to me this evening, no, we need to rise up. We are a church plant here in this community. We need to go out and serve. We need to rise up in the name of Christ. And of course, yes, amen. But the point is that if we are truly to rise up, if we are truly to serve in the name of Christ and stand in the name of Christ, we first need to lie down. Think of all the great saints of old in our history, here in the States, perhaps even back in my homeland of Scotland, those who stood up and served in the name of Christ, even sealing their service with their deaths. They all had something in common. And what was that? All these saints, men, women, even children, who stood up in the name of Christ, they first laid down. They first sat down at the feet of Christ, and so were given strength to stand. The one thing needful, the good portion, sitting at the feet of Christ. But you see, friends, the Lord not only urges us to do this because it's needful, he also urges us to do this because it's beautiful. It's beautiful. On the surface, we could say that there was a beauty to Martha's service. Here was Christ coming with his disciples, weary men, hungry men. And she says, in you come. Here's my home. Here's my food. Here's my drink. Here's my hands and my feet as I prepare these things for you. Here's my energy. Here's my work. Here's my labor. All for you. But you see, what Mary was doing was far more beautiful. We said at the beginning that here Martha was serving while Mary was sitting. But when we actually dig a little deeper, when we actually think about what Mary was really doing here, what we can see is that she was serving too. She was serving too, but in a deeper sense. Romans 12 tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Or we could translate that, our reasonable worship. And here was Mary, setting aside the temporal things of the world, sitting at the feet of Christ, saying, here I am. You have the words of eternal life, so I'm coming to you. Here's my ears. Here's my mind. Here's my heart. It's all for you. It's all for you. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's beautiful. The Greek, as it speaks of her sitting at the feet, it really speaks of Mary sitting close to Christ. And that's what she wanted. You see, it wasn't enough for her to be going in and out of the room, in and out of the room like Martha, just hearing snippets of what the Savior had to say. No, she wanted to hear every last word. She wanted to truly behold the beauty of her Lord and admire all that he is and all that he had to say. You know, when we are called to sit at Christ's feet, as we are, as we are called to pray, to read the word, to fellowship individually and also corporately as we do so tonight, the devil, he will tell you, as he'll tell me, he'll tell you that it's a burdensome thing that we're called to. And at times, in the flesh, it will feel burdensome. But it's not burdensome, friends. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And what makes it so beautiful is not us. Ultimately, what makes it so beautiful is the one whose feet we sit at. Christ himself. You see, he must have been weary at this time. He must have been tired at this time. But as Mary and the others sat at his feet, he didn't call them to sit at his feet so that he could trample upon them. No. He called them to sit at his feet so that he, even in his weariness, could bend down and feed them with his word. Bend down and feed them and give of himself at this time. He was ready to share and he was ready to care for his flock, as he always is. To go back to the devil, he will do everything that he can to disrupt this relationship, to disrupt this beautiful gift that we have, fellowship with one another, fellowship with Christ in the means of grace. You see that with Martha. She was so distracted that she became more focused on what her sister was doing or what her sister wasn't doing than on Christ and what he was doing and what he was saying, as she went to him there in verse 40, Lord, do you not care that Mary's sitting right there doing nothing? Tell her to help me. More interested with Mary than she was with Christ. And that can happen to us too. I want to encourage you just to search your heart for a moment and ask yourself if you feel any resentment towards brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope not, but perhaps you do. Even in the context of a church plan, it can be very easy. We can be very quick to say, oh, look what they're not doing. Look at all I'm doing. But they're not doing that. They're not doing this. But I am. And, you know, such feelings of resentment, such feelings of bitterness, they are like firewood to the devil. Or to go back to the picture of putting out a fire, they're like a huge pail or bucket of water to the devil. Why? You may say, well, it's because it causes division in Christ's church. But I don't think that's his ultimate aim. Yes, division is painful. Division is hurtful to the cause of Christ. But I don't think it's the devil's ultimate aim. His ultimate aim in these things is not actually division. Ultimately, it's distraction. Distraction. He uses the ugliness of division to distract us from the beauty of Christ. The ugliness of division used to distract us from the beauty of Christ. But you see, when by God's grace, like Mary here, we give Christ our undivided attention, rather than the ugliness of division, we are blessed with beholding his beauty, beholding who he is as our God, who we are as his children, who we are as brothers and sisters in fellowship with him and in fellowship with one another. And not only will we behold his beauty, but that same beauty will shine through us. The more we behold him, the more his beauty will shine through us. And that brings us finally to see that we should sit at the feet of Jesus, not just because it's needful, not just because it's beautiful, but because it's fruitful. Fruitful. Well, Martha was carried away and frustrated at this time. We've seen that Mary was anchored at his feet. And we can see from God's word, from the Gospels, that fruitfulness came from this. Don't get me wrong, Mary was not perfect. Mary was a sinner just like you and me. We see, even in John 11, at the time of Lazarus, her brother's death, that Christ was troubled by her response to his death. But if we were to go forward just one chapter, to John chapter 12, we read there of Christ gathering with the children of God, among them the risen Lazarus. And as they gathered there and dined there, we're told that Martha was serving. And we're told that Mary did something. which sets her fruitfulness before us in such a beautiful, beautiful way. We're told that as Christ was reclined there, that she took an alabaster flask filled to the brim with spikenard oil, precious, fragrant oil. She broke the flask. We're told from the different accounts that she poured it on his head. And down his clothes, down his body it flowed, even to his feet. And we're told that Mary was even willing to wipe his feet with her hair. Here she was saying to her Savior, here's my oil. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Here's everything that I have as I present my body as a living sacrifice to you. From the service, the worship of her heart flowed the worship and the service of her hands. And you know, the fragrance there must have been in that room at that time, the fragrance of the oil, well, surely there was a fragrance to Mary's service as she wiped the Savior's feet. And we can see the real fruitfulness of her service and how discerning it was. How discerning it was. The disciples at that point, they weren't discerning. Judas especially, wanting the money that they could have got from the oil for himself, says, why waste this oil in this way? Let's sell it and give that money to the poor, or to attend to the needs of the poor. It's much like Martha, who was missing the point here in Luke 10. But Mary, she was discerning, because she had been sitting at the feet of Christ. She had been hearing him speak of how he would soon die, and how he would soon be laid in the grave and then rise from the grave on the third day. And she believed him. She believed him. And so as he reclined there at the table, she went and she anointed him, knowing that that the poor could wait, because he had an impending death to be prepared for, an impending burial to be prepared for, an impending resurrection to be prepared for. She did this in faith, with this beautiful fragrance spreading throughout the room as Mary trusted in her heart that she would soon smell the far sweeter fragrance of Christ's resurrection. Do you see it, friends? Do you see it, brothers? Do you see it, sisters? She went from sitting at Christ's feet to wiping Christ's feet. And that's how it works. As I said before, from the service of our hearts should flow the service of our hands. You may say to me, but I don't have Christ in this room to anoint. He doesn't come knocking on the door of my house. I can't wipe his feet. But did he not say, I think it's in Matthew 25 verse 45. Did he not say there, as we serve, as we do it unto others, we do it unto him. As you do it unto others, he said, you do it unto me. And so as you do go and serve, as you do stand up in the name of Christ, as you love one another, as you share the gospel with those in the community around this place, as you do these things, you are essentially anointing the head of Christ and wiping his feet as you serve in his name. But if we're to be on fire in the service of Christ, if we're to burn with a desire to serve him and to stand up for him, if you truly desire this work that it would prosper, then yes, you must serve Christ. Yes, you must stand up for Christ. But at the root of it all, you must be sitting at the feet of Christ. Because, brothers and sisters, that the more we sit at the feet of Christ, then the more we will serve in the name of Christ, and the stronger we will stand at the side of Christ. Amen. And may the Lord bless these thoughts upon his word. And let me now pray. O Lord our God, we praise you this evening for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is altogether lovely and the Prince of Peace. And we pray tonight that we would all be found sitting at his feet, not looking to the things of this world, but looking to you, the living God, looking unto Christ, our precious Saviour, and the great shepherd of our souls. If there be any in this place this evening who as yet have not taken hold of Christ and the precious promises of the gospel, may they cling to him tonight. May they hear your voice through your word. And for this congregation, we do ask that you would bless them, that in the days, the months, even the years to come, that you would enable them to sit at your feet and to serve faithfully in your name, and all the while, even in the storms of life, to stand strong at your side. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.